flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Myles Garrett wants a trade. Does he mean it? Does he mean it, Anthony? I say he means it.
Yeah, I think so.
Does Jason Lloyd believes he means it? Jason Lloyd joins us right now from The Athletic. You also hear him on The Fan filling in when Lima and I are sick, or damn it, we just don't want to come to work. Hello. Hello, Jason Lloyd.
Good morning, Kenneth and Anthony.
Do they mean it? Does he mean it? Does he want out of here?
Yeah. Yeah, he means it. You don't put out a press release if you don't mean it.
Well, there's been several people who have said that they believe it's a negotiation tactic, and I don't believe it's... I mean, if he wanted to, he could say, hey, I want to be the highest paid defensive end, and I would understand that. He's saying he doesn't think that they're a competitive team. There is a stark difference here.
If it's I guess my question would be, if it's a negotiation tactic, what are you negotiating against? Because it's the Browns and they'll pay anything. Like, they just gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. Do you think they're not going to pay Myles Garrett?
I wondered if he wanted a guaranteed deal. I mean, that's something I had asked a few weeks ago, especially after the insurance story came out about Watson and how the team could get relief and could get cap relief. Then I'm like, what would stop Myles Garrett from asking for the world? It's already a team that's proven they'll do a guaranteed deal.
They got mad at you for asking that.
And the insurance thing, by the way, I think is a really small percentage of relief, I think, on the cap. Are you talking the actual dollars or cap dollars?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, I don't think it's a significant amount on the cap with the Deshaun, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, Myles, I says yesterday, there's no point in hiding it now. Like, 2 years ago, Myles was supposed to sit down with me and talk about how he was unhappy with where things were at. And it was late in the season, and he was frustrated. This was the year that Deshaun's suspension was increased to 11 games, and it was kind of a going-nowhere season. I talked to him for a couple weeks, and he wasn't real happy. And it was actually, I think, in Washington we were going to sit down and talk. And then he changed his mind and didn't want to do it. And I said, okay. And then obviously things turned last year and they're a playoff team and everything seems to settle down a bit. And now here we are this year where it all unravels again. And then you see what happened yesterday. So yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that he means it because I know 2 years ago he was frustrated.
Do you think that the DPOY, the Defensive Player of the Year, I should have just said that. Do you think that that changed his perspective? Like, when he finally won it, it's like, all right, what's there left to do?
No, I'm. What do you mean? What's there left to? No, well, I think he wants to win.
Yeah, but I think that there is a personal pursuit, and then it dawns on you, like, hey, I'm 8 years into this thing. yeah, there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel, and all of a sudden that sped up his clock. I'm just asking.
It's not a theory. I think Miles has vigorously pursued personal awards because the team can't win. The team wasn't winning. And so he went to where he could go, which was, I want sacks, and I want the Defensive Player of the Year award, and I want things I can control, because he can't control the other 21 guys. And he can't control. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to bash the guy, but at the same time, like, I think he was chasing personal accolades. I think he's been doing that for a while, because what the hell else does he have to play for in Cleveland? And obviously last year was different. Last year they were winning. Last year everything was great. Everything was fine. He wasn't unhappy at all that I know of. I checked in with him a couple times, and this year he really didn't want to talk about it. Like, he just didn't want to talk. But I could tell. Like, you could tell that something was coming, that this was coming. I don't know how to answer that other than I think he was pursuing personal awards because of a lack of.
That's understandable. No, that's actually understandable.
And it's a bad culture to set when guys are chasing individual things because there's no team success. Because obviously in football, it's the ultimate team sport. You need to put the team first. And this, I'm not trying to knock Miles in saying this. I'm just like, look at what he's come into. Look at the lack of winning in this organization. Look how bad they've been at times. So I think at times he's just tried to chase his numbers.
Would you talk him, Jason Lloyd joining us from The Athletic, are you trying to talk him into staying, or are you moving on?
I trade him. I wrote a couple weeks ago I would have traded him.
What can they get?
I don't think 2 1s is unreasonable. You're not getting 3. He's not a quarterback.
In which draft? Jason, in which draft?
Oh, 26. Yeah. I would wholeheartedly go for 26 because – And now, like, here's the thing. We talked about this, I think, last time I was on with you guys. If they really, really love Shador and they're going to stand on the table and scream that that's our guy, okay, well, then you got to take him at 2, I guess. But by all accounts, and I'm not a draft expert. I'm not going to pretend to be one. But next year's draft looks significantly richer in the quarterback department than this year's draft. And so load up on the 26 picks, not necessarily so that you can draft all these players, but so that you have the trade capital to move around and move up if there's a quarterback at that point you want to go get. Because I've said this 100 times, I'm going to say it 100 more. I don't believe the Browns care about the 2025 season, nor do I believe the Browns should care about the 2025 season. If they truly are trying to build this $2 billion palace in Brook Park in 2029, they need to be ready to go around 2027 to start selling PSLs. That's got to be the target. And if they screw up this quarterback, if they just rush into a quarterback and screw this up again, that really messes with that timeline, because now it's 27, 28. You don't have a quarterback, and you're scrambling again to find a quarterback. But if they take their time and get one that they like in 2026, and then you install a franchise quarterback, and now you've got hope, and now you've got, you know, now you've got something to sell to people. So I just don't know. I just don't know that the 2025 season is really the highest priority right now. I just think it's a season of transition. So I would not trade him for 2025 picks. I would target 2026 picks to give you draft capital to move up and down the board to go find a quarterback. Jason, and if they like one of these guys too, then all that's out the window. But that's just where, as we sit here today.
Jason Lloyd of The Athletic joined us on the hotline right now. So what is the case today for Andrew Berry to make that he should still have his job? And do you think Jimmy Haslam, there's an opportunity for him to change his mind right now on this stability continuity thing?
Well, they can't be terribly surprised that this came out yesterday. I don't think that they were overly shocked. The case, I guess, for Andrew, I mean, we talked about it last time I was on with you guys. My timeline, the best as I know it, the best as it's been presented to be, Andrew is interested in Deshaun as far back as his one season in Philly, that year that he spent in Philly. I've talked to people who knew him in Philly who said he was doing work on Deshaun way back then, well before all of these allegations and everything else, that he was really high on the quarterback. The Baker thing is an entirely different conversation. But if you want to keep it focused on Deshaun, I do believe AB was in first on Deshaun. But I do think it got to a point where he did not want to guarantee the whole contract. And that was ownership. So now, how do you want to split the pie on that? Like, everybody over there will tell you that it was a joint decision. So they all missed on it. So now we move forward. That's the line that you'll get. But, you know, if ownership was the one at the end saying, we're going to keep going, we're going to keep going, it, no matter what, go get them whatever it takes, you can understand at that point why they would let the GM give them some grace on that, I guess.
Yeah, but Jason, that's fine. Obviously, in the end, ownership has to sign off on that. But just looking at the state of the franchise in general, the guy that Clevelanders, you'd have to say, is a fan favorite, Myles Garrett.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Best player in my lifetime. When he wants out, and now it's going to get public, and now it's going to get ugly. I imagine that while the Haslams probably understand Miles' point of view, they also thought that they had an organizational structure that could insulate, you know, them from a mess, from a disaster, from a circus. And that hasn't been the case. So who is going to pay the price for that?
I mean, if this is going to be a lame duck year, then just fire everybody now. You know, I don't, there's certainly grounds in a case to fire these guys.
You know, Jason, yeah, you make a great point. I'm not discounting what you're saying here, but jumping in. I know that we take pots out at each other a lot, and I know what your avatar is on social media. But, you know, I'm like, well, they still got to try to make the most of this draft. Like, I know everybody's talking about 2026, and I'd probably be more comfortable with 2026 as well, but it's like, all right, it's not like there's no good players. Like, you can still find good players. And, yes. I mean, if you fired him today, like I said, Jimmy has to decide. Like, I'd probably go back to the table and go, boy, this is some strong fallout here. Am I sure? I got 79 days to the draft. But, I mean, Lord, your scouting department, then that throws them into a tizzy. Like,
absolutely.
I guess, yes. I just have to go through with this. Now, I could see them going in a different timeline of, like, I think the Bills did it a few years ago where after the draft, they moved on. I could see that happening. But I could see a scenario where in May, it's like, all right, we're moving on. And I think a lot of people would be surprised. But I could see that happening more so than right now.
Well, and you're right. But I would also say the Jaguars just fired their GM about a week ago to get the head coach that they wanted.
Well, they did. The guys they wanted didn't want that guy. So this is different.
And I don't know if you really want to be comparing yourself to the Jaguars.
No.
It's the gold standard of the NFL.
And by the way, they let go of Andrew Berry and they brought in Trent Baalke, it's just time to go walk into the lake for me. So,
and I'm not saying fire the guy today. I mean, he could have made the case to fire him after the season, immediately after the season, just because of how bad it's been with the Deshaun and how bad it got. But again, if it was ownership saying, I guess that's the only piece of this where I could see why they didn't do it. His draft record hasn't been great, certainly. But, you know, when you don't have a first-round pick 3 years in a row, you're limiting yourself in what you can get out of the draft. So I guess I see both sides. Certainly, I think a lot of organizations would have fired the GM, given how bad the Deshaun risk turned out. But if it's ownership that was the one that was pushing it at the end and saying, we're going to keep going, we're going to close this, whatever it takes, you could see, I think, at that point why they would let him off the hook. But it's a bad spot. And, yeah, I think everybody's feeling the pressure right now to win. And it very well could be a lame duck situation for everybody involved over there. And that's really unfortunate.
Jason Lloyd joining us here. Could tonight's game with the Cavaliers, I got to ask you this. I mean, you're a basketball guy. I know you like baseball, but I got to ask you this. Could tonight's game with the Celtics have any bearing on any decision-making at all?
No. Okay. In terms of the trade deadline?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
But
I
the
wrote
fans,
about
it might, but I'm just, I have to ask you just to make sure. That's all.
No. How much, what do we got, like 30 seconds?
We got, go ahead. Say what you want to say.
Okay. So I wrote about it over the weekend. I think their most prudent move, people may not want to hear this, I really think they need to duck under the tax. They need to try and cut salary. They need to cut a couple of million dollars and get under the tax. Tristan Thompson and Sam Merrill are both unrestricted free agents after the season. I don't know that either one would be back anyway. I don't know that either would play a prominent role in the postseason series. That gets you under the tax. And according to I was talking to our cap guy, who's really, really, really good with this stuff. And he said that also frees up enough room to be active on the buyout market. They can go be active. Guys who are not traded before the deadline, who then get bought out by their teams, Cavs can go get one or two of those guys, and they will be under the tax. They will not start the repeat offender clock that we've talked about on and off and how important that is. So it's not a big splashy move. It's not, you know, it's not headline grabbing by any means. But for where they're at, for how good they are, for how they're set up for the future, for where the league is headed with some of this stuff, I think their most prudent move is to get under the tax line.
Right now, Jason, would you say that this is anybody's ballgame in the Eastern Conference between Boston, Cleveland? Would you add the Knicks, or are you discounting Milwaukee, or do you still think, Boston is kind of in cruise control. It'll be Boston when all's said and done out of the East.
No, I think the Cavs have a chance. I would not discount Boston. I think Boston has the championship pedigree now. The regular season doesn't matter, and they're just going to chip and putt until they get there. But if you've got Giannis, you've got a chance. So I'm probably not as high on the Knicks maybe as everybody else, but I think between Boston, Cleveland, and Milwaukee, I think any of those three teams are going to have a chance. And by the way, I don't think Orlando is going to win the East, but I think Orlando could make some real problems for some other teams trying to get there. So I think I kind of excited to get to the playoffs and see what this looks like. I think Cleveland can do it.
Would you have wanted a shot at Luka if there were an open bidding process?
Yeah, he's the top five player in the game. Yeah, you'd want a shot at him. I don't know how you make the money work.
Darius and Jared Allen.
Yeah, I know. I'd for sure do that. You're talking about a guy who's 25 years old, who's been all NBA first team 5 years in a row. And
so you don't believe the core is like some untouchable force?
It's untouchable. They're not out there shopping any of these guys. But that was so bonkers and so nutty, you know. If they call an offer, you have to have that conversation. It's malpractice not to have that conversation. So when you're talking about a guy who's 25 years old and one of the top five players in the game, he's done things Donovan Mitchell's never done in his career. So how do you not have that conversation? Of course you do. But, obviously it's not realistic. It's never going to happen. But had that call been made, yeah, you've got to have that conversation.
Let me ask you one more on the record here about the Browns before I let you go here. Does this change any of the Myles Garrett saga? Does this change anything of what they're planning to do with quarterback position at all?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend. I don't know. But, when you were talking earlier about there's still good players in this draft, 1,000%. I'm not, nobody's saying punt on this draft. If anything, maybe this strengthens the idea to stay at 2 and take Abdul Carter. And you've got the Miles replacement, and I understand it's a lot to live up to, and Miles is probably going to Hall of Fame. He's definitely going to Hall of Fame. But, I don't know necessarily that you would trade down at that point if you trade Miles anyway and you're collecting picks, and if you're going along with the theory that we're talking about, you focus on 26 more than 25, just stay at 2 and take another premier edge pass rusher and sort of restart the clock on all this. And, who knows what the collateral damage of a Miles retirement would be down the road. And, does a guy like Joel Bitonio want to put his body through another year of this? if it's the start of a rebuild.
How could he? How could he?
I wouldn't blame him, at least if he said, you know what, that's enough. And it's unfortunate that he wouldn't get like sort of the send off. I don't know if that'd be important to him anyway. But you know, I wonder about that. And there's more questions than answers. There's a lot of holes. Your left tackle may show up at 350. He may show up at 415. And I don't know which one it's going to be. So that's why, to me, this is very much a transition year.
Jason, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, guys.
Jason Lloyd from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.